God's only Son, suffering with all the sin we have ever done, but kindled there was a flame that will never die. Christian, pick up the torch, raise it high in the sky. Keep running on, keep the fire burning and pass the torch along. Fight the fight, stand for right, looking on to Jesus, keep running on. There are those gone before who have run this race. They have finished the course, they have kept the faith, and even now up in heaven they are looking down, saying, pick up the torch, Christian, keep running on. Keep running on, keep running on. Keep the fire burning and pass the torch along. Fight the fight, stand for right, looking on to Jesus, keep running on, keep running on, keep running on.
All right, might need this tonight. So I'll grab this. You're in Luke chapter 19, verse number 40. Again, we looked at that. But again, he answered and said to them, I tell you that if these stones should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. Right here in this story, Jesus is walking with his disciples, and he stops and sends two of them. Got it. All right. Sends two of his disciples to the next village, which happens to be Jerusalem. And he sends them to go find a donkey. And Luke chapter 19, a little bit earlier, it says in verse 30, saying, go ye into the village over against you, in the which at your entering ye shall find a colt tied, wherein yet never man sat. Loose him and bring him hither. And if any man ask you, why do you loose him? Thus shall ye say unto him, because the Lord hath need of him. Of course, we know that they go into the city, and they in fact do find that donkey. That donkey is there tied up, and it's kind of funny to me, but you know, hey, why are you stealing my donkey? Well, the Lord hath need of him. Okay, go ahead, and you know, move along. And so they get that donkey, and then in verse number 35 it says, and they brought him to Jesus, and they cast their garments upon the colt, and they sat Jesus thereon. And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. So he's on this donkey, and they're just praising him, and they've taken their coats and they put it on the donkey. He's riding through. They're laying their coats along the way, and it sounds like just the disciples and the multitude just starts to grow, and people are praising Jesus. They're praising God. What a scene that would be. Instead of all of these terrible and just awful marches that take place for awful causes and awful reasons, if we were to do a march just praising God, And throughout the streets, laying down branches, laying down coats, and just praising God for what He's done. And that's what they were doing. They were praising Jesus. In Mark chapter 11, verse 9, it says that they were saying, "Hosanna, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna!" And they were praising God. What a scene that would have been. That multitude, that group that was just praising God. The religious leaders, they did not like it. And some of the Pharisees, verse 39, from among the multitude said unto him, "Master, rebuke thy disciples." He says, hey, tell them, look, this just isn't right. You know, for the most part, we're okay with you coming through and healing people as long as you don't do it on Sabbath. We're okay with you feeding people. We're okay with you doing some of your wondrous works, but now this is just going too far. You're getting a little crazy here, and just tell everybody to settle down. Tell your disciples to stop it. And this is when we get to our verse, in verse number 40. And he answered and said unto them, "I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out." He says, look, I could tell them to stop, but then you'd have something even more amazing happen. And that's the stones that you're walking on, they'd start crying out and they'd start praising God. And let me tell you, the Bible does say that creation praises God. It already praises God. Psalm 19, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork." Psalm 50, verse 6, "And the heavens shall declare His righteousness." Psalm 69:34, "Let the heaven and earth praise Him, the seas and everything that moveth therein." They already praise God. But you and I, we are to praise God. It's not just up to the heavens. It's not just up to the other creations, but it's up to us to praise God. In fact, Jesus said that if we don't praise Him, then He's going to have some stones do that job for us. He's going to have some rocks cry out and praise Him if we get silent. What would those stones praise Him for? What would they say? You know, and I kind of got thinking about that. What would those stones praise God for? Well, it was a stone that God had a little shepherd boy pick up and put in his sling and swing it round and round. And that little stone was what was driven into the forehead of Goliath, the champion of the Philistine army, and brought him down. Who knows, maybe a stone would praise God for being used. It was a stone that was placed on another stone, and another stone, and where the mighty prophet had an altar built in which God could bring fire down from heaven and consume the offering right in front of those false prophets of Baal. That was a stone that God used. It was a stone that was piled up with 11 other stones as a memorial unto the children of Israel forever, Joshua 4 says. That was a stone. God used a stone over and over. Well, what about the stones that Solomon used in order to build a beautiful temple in which to worship God? How about the stone that was used by Jesus as an illustration when He's telling the story of the wise man and the foolish man? And the wise man proved he was wise because he built his house upon a stone. No, a rock. He did that. So I would think, you know, if you put more thought into it and comb through the scriptures, we could probably find even more places where God used a stone in order to do something. And those stones, I don't know, maybe they would cry out and they would praise Him for being able to be used by God. And they would say, hey, thank you so much for just allowing me to be used to take down that giant. Thank you for allowing me to be used to be built one on another and have the fire come down from heaven and consume that sacrifice. And just over and over, thank God for allowing me to be used. I don't know, maybe that's what those stones would say. When we think about it, we don't really know what they would say, though. And even though they might have a lot to say, I'll tell you what, I don't want to give them a chance. Because in order for those stones to start praising Him, that would mean that I would have to stop. In order for a bunch of rocks to start praising God, that would mean that you would have to stop praising Him. And that would mean that Christians as a whole would have to give up. And it might be kind of interesting to see a rock call out and start praising God. But listen, I don't want to give it a chance because that means that I have stopped praising Him. And I don't want to stop praising Him. I want to keep praising Him because of what He does and what He is and what He does for my family and what He does for all of us and what I've seen Him do. I want to keep praising Him. Turn over to Psalm chapter 145. Psalm 145. I'm not going to be very long. This is just an encouraging thought for you tonight that I thought that could be a help. But Psalm 145, this chapter right here, this psalm is the last psalm in the book that's attributed to David. And this is the only psalm in the book of Psalms called the Psalm of Praise. So there might be something in this chapter that we might be able to pick up. Might be something in this chapter that we might be able to glean from. Might be able to help us as we are to praise God. First thing, looking at this chapter, David just mentions many attributes of God. And we could praise Him for all of these characteristics. In this chapter, it talks about His greatness. In this chapter, it talks about His grace, His goodness, His great compassion, His glory, His glorious honor. It talks about His might, His mighty works. It talks about His mercy. It talks about His majesty. It talks about His propriety, His power. Talks about His provision, talks about His preservation. And it's just in this chapter, it talks about all of these characteristics that when you're looking at Jesus, you would apply to Him and you would apply to God as who He is. And no doubt, if we took one of those, we could speak on just one of those tonight. But as a whole, we could look at all those and that would give us enough material to praise God for the rest of our lives and then beyond. But David also tells us when we should praise Him. He gives us reasons of why we should praise Him, but He says when we should praise Him. And that's what I just want to look at. Verse number one here, it says, I will extol Thee, my God, O King, and I will bless Thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless Thee, and I will praise Thy name forever and ever. In heaven, we are going to praise God forever and ever. But now is the time that we prepare ourselves by praising Him from day to day. He says, every day will I bless Thee. Every day He wanted to praise God. You know, and I'm just going to throw this in there. It doesn't matter how dark or how difficult the day is. Midway through the day, this became a pretty dark day for the Chapmans and kind of what they were going through. Doesn't matter how dark the day is, there's always a reason why we can praise God. There's always something that we can look to and we can praise Him for. Sometimes it's just praising Him because our days aren't normally like this. But we can still find something to praise God for. Deuteronomy chapter 33, it says in verse 25, as thy days, so shall thy strength be. Sometimes that's all you and I can focus on is just getting through one day at a time. Getting past this difficulty. Getting past this day, but you know, as long as we take it one day at a time, and we praise God for that day, and for what He does in that day, there is a strength that will come to us while we are praising and thanking the Lord. We may have to just take it one day at a time. Just day by day, but we can still praise God from day to day. After all, this is just preparation for what we're going to do in heaven, praising Him forever and ever and ever and ever. We need to praise God from day to day. Look at verse 4. One generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works. And men shall speak of the mighty of the might of their terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness, and shall sing of thy righteousness. Not only do we need to praise God from day to day, but we need to praise God from generation to generation. One of the important obligations that you and I have is to pass on to the younger generation truths about God. And we're to pass on to the younger generation the praises of what He has done for us. Over and over, the children of Israel were admonished to pass on to the next generation. And what happens? They didn't do it. They didn't pass on. They did not share with their children. They did not share with the next generation how great God was and how good He was and why He should be praised. And so a generation came that knew not of God. 2 Timothy 2:2, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also." I heard this statement. It's an interesting statement. Every local church is one generation away from extinction. You know, I get wearied hearing about churches who were just on fire and were doing something for God back in the day. They were seeing people come on the buses, and they were seeing people saved, and they were seeing visitors at their church, and they were growing, busting at the seams back in the day. But now there's a new generation that's kind of stepped in, and it's just not quite the same. May God help that not be the case at Faith Baptist Church. But in order for that to not take place here, we have to praise God, and we have to pass those praises of God on to the next generation. We have to pass those on. And God is so great that the human mind cannot even comprehend how great He is. We can't even fathom how great God is. But the human heart can still love Him. And that human heart can still have a heart that wants to tell other people about Him. We can talk about who He is, and we can talk about what He does. Hey, listen, we can tell our kids about Him. We can tell those kids that come in off those buses every Sunday. We can tell them about Jesus. We can tell those kids that sit in the Sunday school classes. And we can tell the kids that sit in teen church, Brother Allen. We can tell them about how great God is and how we need to praise Him. Hey, we can pass that on to the next generation, but we are the ones that have to do it. It's not going to happen by them picking up a newspaper. It's not going to happen by them scrolling through Facebook. It's going to happen by somebody actively praising God and wanting to pass that on to the next generation. We are the ones that have to pass it on. Our love for God and our gratitude to God and our praise for Him should be bubbling over to where we cannot contain all that God has done for us. You know, the next generation needs to learn about praising God, but you understand that more is caught than is taught. I hope that in my life I wouldn't just get up and preach on this matter, but in my everyday life I would praise God. That my kids would be able to see that. The teenagers in the youth department would hear about how I'm thankful for what God has done in my life. And I'm not just praising Him for what He did for the previous generation, but I'm praising God for what He's done in my life. And I'm passing that on to where they know that they can praise God for what He can do in their lives. That song that was sang, keep running on. Pass the torch along. That's what He's just saying. And passing the torch along, some of that, yeah, we need to pass the torch along as far as, you know, the Bible truths and all that stuff. But along with that is just passing the torch in the area of praising God. If they just have head knowledge and they never get it in their hearts and they understand how much God really loves them and how much all that He does for them, it's just going to come in one ear and out the other. But if it can stick in their heart, then we might have something. In our homes, when God provides for your vacation, and at first you didn't know what you're going to do, and you're able to scrape up a little bit of money, and maybe the Lord blessed in an unexpected way, praise God for that. Hey, look at what God did for us. Isn't God so good? Praise Him a little bit. In our school, when God puts it on a businessman's heart to donate $2,000, so we can get new sports uniforms, let's praise God for that. I'm thankful to that businessman who did that and gave that money, but I'm thankful for God who put it on His heart. And I want to praise God for doing that. We need to praise God in our church. We need to praise God for the visitors that come. Hey, I praise God for the man last night, 82 years of age, Brother Scott Williams was able to witness to. 82 years of age. That doesn't happen every time you go out soul winning. Witness to an older gentleman like that, and he goes from darkness to light. That's just a work of God. That's just a blessing that God will do. And we need to praise Him for that. I thank God for the visitors that we've been able to see. I thank God for the bus ministry and all those kids that come in week after week after week. And bus captain, I know you get discouraged sometimes because maybe the numbers aren't exactly where you want them to be and not exactly where you're shooting for. But you know what? Praise the Lord. If one child comes in off that bus, and if one child is able to hear the gospel and one child is able to get saved, praise the Lord for that. We can praise God for that. Praise God from generation to generation. Look at verse number 9. The Lord is good to all. Praise God from nation to nation. Look up at verse number 1. He says, I will extol thee, my God. And then look down at verse 21. Says, my mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless His holy name. So, right here, he sees that it's important not just for one person, but for that to be passed on from nation to nation. That's to be passed on. And that's what the fall program is all about. The fall program is all about going out and reaching our nation. The people in our nation, in our community, reaching them and getting them into church and letting them know about how good God is and praising God to them and letting them see that and getting them in. And I encourage you to get involved. If it's been a while since you've been out soul winning, get out soul winning again. And you say, well, I have a hard time being able to meet certain times. You know what? I appreciate a man came up and said, you know, the only time that I have available is on Saturday afternoon. Is there anybody that would be able to go soul winning? And we were able to find somebody that went out soul winning with him in the later afternoon on Saturday. But he wanted to get back into it, and he wanted to see our nation get reached for Christ. Go out and tell somebody how good God is to you and what He has done for you and what He has done in your life. There's not a time that I open my Bible and I witness to somebody that I do not share at least part of my salvation testimony. Because that's part of praising God. I'm able to share what God has done for me and let them know that God can do that for them also. But you know what? It's not just praise God from our nation. It's from nation to nation. That's why we have a missions conference. We have a missions conference so we have the opportunity to tell other nations about God. And we can help missionaries and we can raise money in order to get them to go out so they can spread the praises of God from nation to nation. I loved hearing those missionary letters tonight about how this one missionary from America goes over to a foreign country and while he's over there, he leads somebody to the Lord. They get excited and they start witnessing to their friends. They start witnessing to their family. Now, because one missionary went out, there's one guy that got saved and he's reaching 20. You know how that is? Nation to nation. Thank God for the Barkowskis who are in Trinidad. Thank God for the Barnes family in Guam and the Beatles in Colombia. Thank God for the Ben Angel family in Madagascar. Thank God for all of those missionaries that are out there in the hallway. Why? Because they are praising God from nation to nation. We have a responsibility. Don't forget that God so loved the world. Didn't say, for God so loved the United States of America. He loved the world. And He wants us to pass that on, pass the praises of Him from nation to nation. Next, verse number 13. Second part there, it says, "And thy dominion endureth through all generations, and the Lord upholdeth all that fall, and raiseth up all those that be bowed down. The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thine hand and satisfies the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works." We need to praise God from need to need. From need to need. Our Lord, our God, he's not just an absentee landlord who just comes by and collects his check. He is somebody that is there and wants to fix our problems. He wants to help you with your needs. He can get there and 1 Peter 5:7 says that we can cast all our care upon him, for he careth for you. He's there for the Chapmans when that little one is air flighted to Chicago. He's there for the man who needs a job. He's there for the mother with a broken heart. He's there for the child who's praying for what we might deem as something that's insignificant, but to them is something that is huge. He is there for us to cast our cares and to cast our needs upon Him. I love the song that the teenagers sang some time ago, "Bigger Than Any Mountain." It's a fun, peppy little song. But it goes, "Bigger than all the shadows that fall across my path, God is bigger than any mountain that I can or cannot see. He's bigger than all the confusion, bigger than anything. God is bigger than any mountain that I can or cannot see. He's bigger than all my problems, bigger than all my fears. God is bigger than any mountain that I can or cannot see. Oh yes, He's bigger than all my questions, bigger than anything. God is bigger than any mountain I can or cannot see." Second verse goes, "He's bigger than all the giants of pain and unbelief. God is bigger than any mountain that I can or cannot see. He's bigger than any discouragement, bigger than anything. My God is bigger than any mountain that I can or cannot see." Think of all the needs that He has supplied for you. Daily needs that He takes care of on a daily basis. Lastly, and I'm done. Verse number 18. "The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon Him. To all that call upon Him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear Him. He also will hear their cry and will save them." Not only will He take care of your needs, but praise God from prayer to prayer. When He answers your prayer, we need to praise Him. When He answers another prayer, guess what?
We need to praise Him again. And on and on and on, whenever He answers any prayer, and it doesn't matter how little of a prayer, we need to praise God for that. I've heard about people who start prayer journals, and I've challenged people to do that in the past. Write down your prayer request that you're praying about. Write down the prayer request. Don't just pray off the top of your head, but write down the prayer request that you make. And then, as God answers those prayer requests, mark those off. And then you can go back, and maybe at the end of the year, you can look at those prayer requests and, oh yeah, that's right, I was praying about that, and God answered that prayer. Praise God for that. Oh, I remember this one, and we were praying, and we didn't know how God was going to meet the needs there, but He did it, and praise the Lord for that. And you could go back, and you could think about the prayers that you prayed for that He met on and on every single time. Go back. Whenever God answers a prayer, we need to praise Him. Praise Him not just for the needs that He meets, that sometimes we don't even pray about, but He still supplies, but then also pray for those specific prayers that we're asking Him about. Praise Him from prayer to prayer. Isaiah 12, verses 4 says, "And in that day shall you say, praise the Lord. Call upon His name, declare His doings among the people." So He's saying that we need to praise the Lord when you call upon His name, and then make sure that everybody knows about the doings that He does. Make mention that His name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for He hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. We need to just remember to thank God and to praise God when He answers our prayer. Praise God from prayer to prayer. Look at verse number 21. It says in Psalm 145, verse number 21, "My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless His holy name forever and ever." Let's follow David's example here. Let's praise God from day to day. Let's praise God from generation to generation. Let's praise God from nation to nation, as we'll do here in a couple of weeks. Let's praise God from need to need. Let's praise God from prayer to prayer. And thinking back to the beginning of the message, I'm not exactly sure what those rocks would say. But you and I, we got plenty of material that we can cover to make sure that they don't get an opportunity to praise Him. Let's pray. Father, just want to thank You so much for all You do. Lord, we could spend the entire night just praising You for what You do and for the needs that You meet, the prayers that You answer. And God, I'm ashamed at the times that I pray and ask You to bless and ask You to do something, and then when You do that, I don't come back and praise You the way that I should. Father, I pray, Lord, that we would all look at that and we would all be careful to praise Your name, praise You for all that You do. Be careful to pass it on from generation to generation, and just be careful to do all that we need to do in order to praise You properly. Help us, Lord, with that. With every head bowed and every eye closed, nobody looking around, don't want to go a service without asking if there's anybody in here that says, "Brother Mick, I don't know for sure that I'm going to heaven someday." If there's anybody like that, slip your hand up, put it right back down. I would like to know that. I don't know for sure I'm going to heaven someday. Put your hand back down if you do that. I wonder if there was something in the message that challenged you. An area that maybe we've slacked off in that we can be encouraged in. The day-by-day praises. Is there a day that goes by that we don't praise Him? Generation to generation, making sure that our next that the next generation catches that from us. From nation to nation, being aware of those that are around us, the lost souls that need Him. From need to need, praising Him when He meets our needs, and then praising Him for answers to prayer. Why don't we all stand, and as the piano plays, if the Lord spoke to your heart, why don't you come down and just speak to Him about it. We'll have a couple of verses of invitation. If you need to speak to God about something, go ahead and do that.